As a Charlotte Mason homeschooler, you are probably very picky about the books that you share with your children, as you should be. But what do you do when your kids are starting to make that transition to choosing their own books? How can we shepherd them well in that season of life? Let's talk about that today. Welcome to the Simply Charlotte Mason podcast. I'm Sonia Schaefer. Joining me today is my friend Amber O'Neill Johnston. Amber, let's talk a little bit about when our children are making the transition to choosing their own books. We talked a lot about pre-reading and the importance of that.
Yes.
But we also recognize there comes a time when it's physically impossible to keep up. You've got four kids.
That's right.
All of them are avid readers,
yes,
I'm assuming.
Yes.
I had four, and they're all avid readers. Mm-hmm. And it just becomes physically impossible to keep up.
It does. And in our home, I became a literal bottleneck because I was used to pre-reading every single book that they ever read. And it literally, I had a pile on my nightstand and children waiting for me to hurry up and finish those so that I could pass them off. And these were books they wanted, and they were complaining about it. And I thought to myself, is this really what I want for them, where they aren't free to read in their leisure time because I haven't given them enough books to that I've approved or that I've pre-read. And I knew then that changes had to be made.
Well, and it's not setting them up for success as an adult.
Yes.
Because they're only with you for a certain amount of time. And once they leave your home, if they don't know how to discern what is a good book and what to do with the ones that are not good, then we have not set them up for success.
No.
All we've done is made them more dependent on us.
It's very true. It's very true. And I think that when we think of wanting to raise readers who are adults who enjoy reading and want to continue on in that way, they need a childhood of reading plenty of good books. And I think not just lesson books, but reading in their free time, reading, my kids read at night before bed with their nightlight and all of those things. And that's not possible with multiple kids or even with one child to think that for all of their childhood, you would be reading ahead of them. So I think the key is preparing them to be discerning in what they're reading and them practicing that discernment under your, you know, loving gaze as they go and grow and are able to choose their own books.
So let's walk through that process, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
How do we start out? How do we teach them that discernment?
Mm-hmm.
And then let's talk about how we make the transition, practically speaking. You know, how did you go about doing this? And then at the end, I want to touch on what if they make a poor choice? Because it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
As much as we hate to think about it, it's going to happen, but we'll deal with that. Let's start at the beginning then. What kinds of things can we do to help our children learn this type of discernment?
I think two things. One is exposing them to really good books, to the best, because they will develop a taste. It's the same thing in children who eat lots of vegetables, have a taste for vegetables when they're older. Children who are accustomed to reading and hearing really excellent literature, they develop a taste for that type of book. And I've seen that play out in my own family. And sometimes that doesn't mean that they won't ever want to read anything else. But my kids will be like, oh, this is a bubblegum book, but I'm going to read it anyway. It's a name they came up with, and I think it's cute, and it's meaningful to our family. It means that this book isn't probably worthy of your time, but I'm just on a whim. I feel like it this Saturday rainy afternoon. And I think helping them develop that taste is important. I think the other thing is, in those years where I'm reading most things aloud, that I narrate to them or describe to them my thoughts about this book. And I might stop and say, okay, that idea that the author just shared is not something that our family believes, or it's not something that I think would be pleasing to the Lord for us to head in that direction. But I know that this book has a lot of other ideas in it that are good for us to learn and examine. So I'm going to continue reading, and we'll go ahead and finish the book. And there have been a few times, not as much, but where I say, okay, guys, I vetted this book ahead of time. I thought it was heading in one direction. I see that the author is headed in a completely different direction. And it's so saturated with things that I don't think are true or good that we're just going to set this book aside and read something else. So I could do that as a parent on my own without explaining it to them.
Of course.
But that is one way that I show them that I'm in a constant process of this in my own life. And this is how you can do that as well.
It's just like walking them through how the thought process,
yes.
Walking them through how you are thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of, in a small way, it reminds me of how you make the transition when you're teaching them a chore.
Yes.
You know, I do it and you watch me. I do it and you help me. Mm-hmm. Okay, now you're going to do it and I'm going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And so on and so forth until they can do it on their own. And so you have vetted it ahead of time. And they're watching or listening,
mm-hmm.
as you read aloud the good stuff,
mm-hmm.
so they know what the standard is.
Yes.
And they're very familiar. They're expecting this high standard.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're also going to walk them through your thought process. And I assume that didn't take up, 10 minutes of every lesson.
No, it was very quick.
Once
because
in a while.
Because in many lessons, it doesn't come up at all.
Right.
You're just reading the book, everything's fine. But when it does, and I think it was important for me that I wanted to strike a balance, that there is a spectrum. And perhaps each family and then each individual has different feelings along what they're able to tolerate or accept in a book.
Mm-hmm.
It was important that they didn't feel like just because this book contains something that we disagree with, we don't throw the book away.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to happen. So it's a matter of being able to tell when it's okay to keep reading and say, okay, I'm learning about a different perspective here. And when it becomes something that it's not good for us to read, or we shouldn't use our time to pursue this author's thoughts. And I think it's delicate. I think it's something adults are still learning as
oh,
well.
Yes.
I mean, I find myself wondering, should I be reading this?
Oh, yeah. I did that last week. I was reading a novel that someone else said is their favorite book,
mm-hmm.
of this particular time period, historical fiction book. And I got up to chapter 7. And even from the first chapter, it's like, oh, I didn't expect that in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple more chapters, oh, I didn't expect that. I got to chapter 7. It's like, why am I still reading this?
Yes. It happens.
Forget it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is not for me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that that's a wise thing to teach. And it's a wise thing to teach that you don't have to read everything that perfectly aligns with your thoughts either. And it's an art, I think, as much mm-hmm. as it is a science. And our children need practice. And I think in the beginning, when they're younger, they're practicing through me telling them my thought process. That's their practice. But then as they get older, I want to see them practicing. What do you think about that book? Or what do you think about what they said in this chapter, or the author's perspective on such and, thus and such. And I'm listening to them and we're discussing it. And I think that's the next stage.
That's how you make that transition.
Definitely.
So have you read that book ahead of time still,
mm-hmm.
so that you know what questions to ask? You know, like, what did you think about this particular aspect of it?
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you made the transition?
Yes, and that even more so with the younger children, right? Because that first one is more of my guinea pig. I'm like a night ahead of her in the reading. But now I've read that book before, and so as mm-hmm. I'm reading it with my younger children are reading it, I have read that book and I've gone through it with a child already. And so I really try to stay up to date with my oldest readings, knowing that that'll flow down through the years with the other children.
How do you remember all of these mm-hmm. for all these titles? Do you
so
have cheat sheets?
I do, and
good
they're
girl.
In my books. They're in my books.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just right there in the flap of the book. And I always think to myself, this is going to be a gift for someone. Can you imagine if you had your grandmother's book and had her notes in there of what she thought, or even warnings? I'm like, top of page 117, that's not true,
mm-hmm.
exclamation,
mm-hmm.
exclamation. And I think it's a special time. And it helps me when I'm doing that book 2 years later with
yes.
someone else. And then 2 years later that I don't necessarily need to reread the book all over, because I can look at my notes and say, okay, I remember that. I remember this. And it's not always, I don't want people to feel like it's always a warning of bad content. This is not okay for Christians. Or sometimes it's just something that my child's unfamiliar with. It could be something that's controversial. possible. It could be something we just haven't studied or discussed before, and I want to be very sensitive in what they're hearing about it for the first time. I want to be involved in that. So I might say, on a note on page 26, come get me when you get to this page. And just little things like that. They're not extensive notes. They're not cliff notes. They're not a booklet.
So when you say something like, come get me, that to me signifies that you have part of the whole process up to this point has been developing a relationship so your child will come get you.
Yes.
And talk a little bit about that relationship. What should that be like? Mm-hmm. How do you cultivate it? What should it look like?
I think it's a couple things that I have hard conversations with my kids, so they have the experience of discussing difficult things with me. Mm. The other thing is that if I've always told the kids, when you come to me, you are not going to get in trouble for what you share. And I think it can be scary for kids. I know a little bit it was for me as a child. I don't really want to tell my parents that I saw this movie at the sleepover because then I won't be able to be friends with her anymore, or my parents will be mad at me that I watched something I wasn't allowed to watch. I don't want that with my children. Come and tell me. So you read that you were reading a book. It might have even been a book I provided, and I'm sorry. You know, I vetted it, but I might not have pre-read it.
Yeah.
And something made you uncomfortable, whatever it is. Just come tell me. Let's talk about it. And let's talk about why you're uncomfortable and what that means. And I'd even love to hear your thoughts on whether you should keep reading that book or not. And I think that my comfort grows as I see them having these discussions with me, and where they're repeatedly coming and doing the hard thing of coming to talk to me about what they're reading. And it helps prepare us for that final stage you discussed.
Have you seen this happen with your teenagers?
Oh, yes, definitely. And I think every time it happens, I have to tell you secretly, I'm like, yes, okay. And when they leave the room, I'm like, yes. I'm like, I'm winning. And that's so good. But I want them to know that I trust them, and I really do. I think that we've been working up to this point of independence and independent reading for a very long time. Mm. And I didn't just throw them out there. And, you know, my oldest has come to me before and she said, Mom, this is in this book. I want to read this passage to you. I think that based on things I've read online and where the author's going with it, I don't think there's going to be a lot of this in the book. So I'd like to keep going. That's what I'm thinking. What do you think? And, you know, we'll talk about that. And I'm like, yeah, you should do it. Keep going. Because you can always stop, right? Just keep going. See where it takes you. And at the end, oftentimes she's like, Mom, I'm so glad I didn't stop reading that book. It was so good. There have been other times where she's like, I'm going to keep going. And then later she comes back, forget it. It's too much. It's too much of what I don't want to take in. And I'm telling her, congratulations, you are maturing. That's what that looks like, where you're making that decision on your own. And so I become more of a friend. It's like more of a book club environment where we're talking about what we liked or didn't like and what we got and gained from a book and what we might have set aside. And it's less of a dictatorship, you know, where I'm like, you can't read this. I don't think that works well. It backfires. And I've tried that before, actually.
Well, and it reminds me of how Charlotte described the teacher, that it's a guide and a friend.
Yes.
And you transition into that role of friend. As you said,
yeah,
you guided her when she was younger to develop those powers of discernment through your own example and your own conversations and your relationship with her. And now you're at the point where you can transition to being her friend and listening to her process out loud.
Definitely.
And reinforcing the good decisions. Okay, so what if the decision is not good? Has that ever happened?
Yes.
Okay.
We have hiccups there. It happens a lot of times with popular books that the kids see that are being shared at the library on top of the shelf, or that they read in magazines, read about in magazines, or their, you know, different friends tell them about. And it's really difficult because they're begging to read this book, and I'm looking at the book, and I'm like, this is trash, and I don't really want my kid to read this, and they're wanting to read it. And for me, it really depends on the child. I don't have like an age cut off, like this kid can read this and this kid can't. I think that creating forbidden fruit can sometimes be difficult in a literary world. And so I try to say yes as much as I can. And the reason for that is sometimes I say no. And I want them to respect the no and not feel like it's frequent. So the times where I've said, listen, I read that book or I read about that book, and it's just a hard no. And when you are an adult or when you're older, if that's what you choose to read, that's fine. But I can't in good conscience allow you to read that now.
Do you give them some of your thought process behind it?
Yeah,
like, it's a hard no because it contains...
Definitely. And, you know, we can talk about that same child. My oldest is very sensitive to violence, to gore and extreme violence. And I noticed it in movies growing up, even these movies made for kids. She would be shaking. She was scared, even though the other kids weren't. Mm. I'm like, I know about this book, and some of the scenes are very, very graphic with violence, and I think it will disturb you. She's like, Mama, it's fine. That was when I was younger. I can handle it or whatever. And I'm like, no, because you don't fit in our bed anymore. And I remember the the nights where you were sleeping right there for weeks because of something that you saw or read. So that's a no. And I mean, I just don't advise that for you with so many other options. There are things. So those are examples. And that's an example where that book isn't necessarily bad. Another child might be able to look right past that and think nothing of it. But I know my kids, and I think that as a parent, I do have the final say and the ability to say no, but I also have the responsibility to reserve that only for only the times when I really have to. I want them to have an increased freedom and ownership, knowing that they won't always live with me. Mm-hmm. And at some point, mm-hmm. they'll be able to read whatever they want, whenever they want. Mm-hmm. And I'd like them to practice while they're still in my home.
And some of that practicing, I mean, you learn a lot from making mistakes.
Yes. Yeah,
let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, if you have fed them with what is good and noble and just and worthy as much as you can all of these years, I mean, the school books you pick out, mm-hmm. you are feeding them that good standard of books.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they're only reading these things.
Definitely.
That's just on the side. They're going to see it doesn't measure up.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep thinking of the phrase separating the wheat from the chaff.
I see that, yeah.
Some books are only chaff.
I agree. You know what? And that reminds me of another strategy I have is it directs my family read aloud. Sometimes when I see someone heading off over and I want to pull them back, I'll just go get a really rich book that I know is a great story. And we have a tradition of family read-alouds daily. And so when I bring them, they're like, oh, hanging on my every word. And it makes them want more of that.
Of the
that
good
feeling.
Stuff.
Yes, yeah. That wanting more of that. So I think there are ways, you know, to kind of strategically drop that in and keeping it going over time. I don't think, you know, oh, well, you're older. You're in high school now, so do what you want. Mm. But I am still guiding even then.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think that's wise. What would you say to a parent who has a hard time letting go of this, who is the bottleneck mm-hmm. and admits it, mm-hmm. but has not yet come to the point of being able to let go and take a step back and allow the children to have a little bit of choice in this matter.
Mm-hmm.
How can that parent get started down this path?
Mm-hmm. First, I'll say I understand because I was there. But I think when you think beyond just books as to what you want for your children and who you want them to become, and you realize that you're leading in fear in that moment rather than setting an example and, you know, kind of being willing to dig in and do the hard work to get to the end of this educational journey and having your child set up for a really whole living, an idea of whole living as an adult. When you back up and think of this is not just about the book, but it's really about who I'm raising and how I'm raising them to be, it allows you to, you know, even if you're clawing, you're like, okay, I'm going to let go of this.
And white knuckle, peel the fingers off.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think it helps, community helps, because you can be, hey guys, have you heard of it? Are you familiar with this book? I don't have time to reread it. What do you think about this book? And, you know, there are certain sites where you can kind of get really good reviews from people that you know think similarly or would feel the same way about certain books. And sometimes I just really have to rely on that and say, I researched this, and to the best of my ability, I think this is going to be fine for them. And if it's not, I trust that they'll come to me.
And you will tell them that
when you
hand it to them.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Because I'm sometimes like, here you go. No, it was a very difficult transition for me.
Yeah.
But now that I'm on the other side of it, I can say it was absolutely the best thing to do.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. So what we don't want to do is swing from one extreme to the other.
No.
Where we say, I have to pre-read everything. Okay, never mind. Just read whatever you want to.
Yeah. This is not a anything goes.
No. Yeah. It is helping shepherd our children through thinking with discernment.
Yes.
Step by step, stage by stage, and keeping those lines of communication open mm-hmm. so you can continue to coach and be their friend and speak into what they are reading and have them share their thoughts with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's life.
It is. It's good practice.
It is. It is. Thanks. Mm-hmm. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for joining me. I'll see you next time.